Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Mother's Day 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, St. Paul's Mother. Our text comes to us from Romans chapter 16, verse 13. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
I don't think I need to say this too strongly, that motherhood has been under great attack. Stay-home mothers usually are looked down upon. They want mothers to not be real mothers, but get involved in the workforce and just be free, whatever that means. Stay-home mothers are looked down. A lot of that stuff. Promiscuity today, unfortunately, has produced a lot of children who people say are unwanted, and so the best birth control is abortion. And today, abortion is in the headlines in an incredible manner. That's how they reduce some of the stuff that goes on in life. And according to statistics, since Roe versus Wade and abortion became legal in the country, over 68 million children have been murdered. We as a church, we do not believe in abortion. We do not. There are certain circumstances in which we understand that has to be done when the mother is in danger of losing her life. I think that's correct. When the person has been assaulted, when there's been a rape, and of course an incest. These are areas in which you look at abortion as a very painful alternative to issues that come up in life. And yet, in some places, that's not even accepted. But unfortunately, the majority of the children that have been aborted, believe it or not, are African Americans. That's the greatest number of children that have died. 68 million, about a fourth of our country, murdered, killed. It's amazing how the woman's liberation says, my body, my choice. They don't think anything about the child. It's my body, my choice, except when it comes to vaccinations. Then you got to do this. So the temperatures are high in the country today. I did not expect anybody to pick at our church, but a lot of the Catholic churches today are concerned because of the hostilities towards the Supreme Court, who 4 members are Catholic, and they voted, presumably, to withdraw the federal mandate of abortion. It would go back to the states. It's still not prohibited. It just has to be done by the legislature of each state. But I tell you, it is difficult to see this. It's difficult to see how a Christian nation has gone that route. But let me also pause and say something. There is no sin that God will not forgive. And there is no heart that he cannot help. And I've known of people that have gone through an abortion, and the pain is there. But God forgives, and God restores, and God strengthens. It's not the unpardonable sin, but it is something that is lasting, and it's something that is painful. And I pray that if that's been the case that you've experienced yourself or in the family, understand that Jesus loves you. God loves you and I unconditionally. He loves you with an everlasting love, and all you need to do is come to him, and he will restore your life and will strengthen you. So do not be afraid to face the truth. It's good news. Jesus loves you. And Jesus forgives us all of our sins. But motherhood is under stress. And I was looking at an article just the other day, and they say that mothers are under different types of stress, and it comes under the category of burnout. Now, mothers can be burning out, and their internal and external symptoms of burnout. Let's see if some of you are close to that, okay? Sometimes a person experiences this burnout in their life as they try to cope with all the demands of motherhood, where their activity are not producing what they used to produce. When you just work and work and work and work, and at the end of the day, you've not accomplished much of anything. It's because there is this internal energy that doesn't seem to produce. It's just wasted action. Believe it or not, you could show signs of burnout by just being irritable. I don't mean to talk about the daily irritability that you may have. I'm talking about being always irritable, upset. Everything troubles you. Then there's the other one, physical fatigue. You're tired all the time, unable to do what needs to be done. It's just there. And then lastly, internally, you're unwilling to risk. You're unwilling to take chances. You don't want to do that second mile, go a little bit further than you've gone before. And then there's the internal symptoms of burnout. And this happens where you lose your courage. You're becoming so introspective that you are not able or want to face things as they are, and your courage has diminished. I did not know this, but this also is true, that part of the burnout that can happen is that you lose your personal identity, your self-worth. You don't think good about yourself. You I don't know if you look in the mirror as much as I do. Oh, good grief. But you look in the mirror and you say, is that really me? And you feel a low, and you don't identify yourself with where you are today, and your self-worth is down, plummets. I'm nothing. I'm no good. I should not be here. Then there's also loss of objectivity. You cannot see things straight. Things are white, but you see them green. And when they're green, you see them white. You can't predict what's going on. You cannot handle what's happening in front of you. You cannot discern it. You're confused. This one I know for a fact that happens not just to motherhood, but it happens to everybody. And all of this can happen to anybody, absolutely true, not just related to mothers. There's emotional exhaustion. When you're emotionally exhausted, I think that's a safe one to ask. How many have ever felt emotionally exhausted? Of course. And some of you that lifted your hand, you were not mothers. Could be fathers. And then sometimes you develop a negative mental attitude. Everything is bad. Nothing is good. You someone comes with good news and you find the wrong side of that. Always find a way to feel negative. And you know what? That causes people to want to stay away from you. Who wants to be around people who are experiencing burnout? Nobody does. And you become isolated, and you mumble and you grumble, and you wonder why the world is against you, and you sink into depression. I'm speaking to Christian people here. I'm not speaking to those who don't know the Lord. I'm speaking to Christian people who sink into depression and go into issues in their lives that cannot be truly understood. Except that there comes a time when we wear out and we're tired and we're fatigued and we're at the end of our rope. I did not prepare this message with answers to all of those things, because those answers are complex. Except to tell you that when you realize where you are, you will find out where you want to get to. When you know what things are going in your life, you may be able to make a choice and say, I don't want this anymore. And when you make that choice, then you will begin to see how the Lord will move you from one place to the other. The most important thing that I say to people who are going through burnout is take a vacation. Yeah, literally. Get away from everywhere you are. Find a way in which you can think life differently. And we'll go through that some other time in another message, whenever the appropriate time it is. But let me just simply say that everything can be fixed, can be resolved when you want it to be resolved. When you see where you are, then you will be able to get it resolved. Sometimes you can't see the forest because of the trees. And we pray that in your case, you will begin to ask the Lord to help you and show you how to get out of that, because that's not the life abundant that the Lord has promised, but certainly an experience that we all go through. Mothers and fathers and single people, we all go through that. But today I have something else that I want to share with you, which I think is a little bit more positive. And I found this scripture, not found this scripture found me in Romans chapter 16. And we're gonna see it right now, 16:13. When I read this, I felt extremely choked up, extremely moved. It's a touching moment in the book of Romans. Every time I looked at it through this week, I felt even more and more relating to what Paul was saying here, because you're going to find out that you have more than one mother. And you will understand how this works. It reads this way: Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. This is St. Paul saying that there was a person whose mother was like his own mother. I think it's important, because greeting the friends in Rome, St. Paul signals out Rufus and his mother. And he says, she, your mother, was like a mother to me. I want to tell you something. All of us should have another mother. We should all have our biological mother, but then there's somebody else that really helps us in our life, and she is our second mother, our adopted mother. And if you've never had children, here is a great opportunity for you to adopt children into your circle of influence and love them and care for them as if they were your own. Because, you know, in many ways, they are your own. Rufus was the son of Simon of Cyrene. And Simon of Cyrene was the man who carried the cross on that painful trip up on Good Friday all the way up to Golgotha. This is amazing. This is Simon. Simon was the one who helped the Lord carry the cross. You remember that passage of scripture. Rufus is his son. Now think about that. We don't know this from scripture, but we can do this from deduction, that Simon must have shared that moment. How could he have not shared that moment with his family? And who knows what went on in the life of Simon after he carried Jesus' cross to Golgotha? Who knows what impact he must have had, the Lord, on his life and that whole experience? I believe he went home as a changed person, a changed man, a completely different person. Put yourself in the place of Simon of Cyrene. And if you were to have taken up the cross of Christ all the way up to Golgotha, you would be a completely different person today. The transformation of that event in the life of this man, Simon of Cyrene. And of course, as he changed, he shared that moment with his wife, with his children, with everybody around. And in Mark 15:21, it speaks about Alexander and Rufus, the sons of Simon of Cyrene. He shared that stuff with them. I carried the cross of Christ. I helped the Lord go up Golgotha. I am the one who picked up that cross. You can imagine how he must have told the story to his wife. How he said to his wife, look what happened. I had this incredible privilege. I had this close encounter with Jesus going up the Golgotha Hill, and the two boys heard about it. It was a revolution inside the home. I'm telling you, if I had been one of those, I would not stop talking about it until I could no longer speak. And so with you and so with me. And the remarkable thing about what I've just said is that there's a loving intersection. Something happened, a circumstance, where she, the wife of Simon of Cyrene and the mother of Rufus and Alexander, shared it with St. Paul. We don't know how they met. We don't know where they met. We don't know what circumstances they met. But it happened. As the scripture says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. It's amazing how mothers that have not birthed children can be mothers to children. I had one. Oh, yes, I did. I had my mother, which should have been enough. If you knew her, you would know that. And she was, my mother was very competent, very able, very domineering. My mother was my mother. And there's some people here who knew her well, and she was my mother. And you know, you are somebody's mother as well. And you know, a mother is a mother. And you know, we never strayed. No, we never strayed. No. We could not do anything that would be wrong, because she would know it before we would do it. And so we wouldn't even imagine of doing anything wrong, because she would be on top of us. She was on top. I mean, she was busy doing other things, but she did not miss a cue. Mothers today can do that. They can work, and they can have, quote, career, and still be very good mothers, because they're always looking at their children, and they're always making sure that things are going right. If there's anything that I would say to mothers today, is be on top of your children. For instance, do you know who your friends are, your children's friends are? That's a big one. That's a huge one. So something else has happened in the last years. What do they see in that tablet? What are children looking in that iPhone? What are the dangers of having your children unsupervised with a tablet? You have no idea how difficult that is today. Because everybody wants to have a tablet. Everybody wants to see. But you as a mother, you must be, well, dads as well, but I'm talking to mothers now. Dads next month. You need to make sure. Because the enemy comes around to destroy the minds of young people. One of the biggest issues today is pornography. You as a mother must make sure that your children respect their brains. You know, it is awful when that happens, because an image of pornography in the mind of a child stays forever. Did you know that? It never leaves you. I'll tell you why, because it happened to me. I'm not gonna say anything bad, so don't worry about it. I was about 9 years old. And in those days, they didn't have anything like iPads or internet or computers. There was nothing in those days. You know. But you know what they had? Dirty pictures. And there was a bunch of boys in the neighborhood that we were forbidden to hang around with. But you know, peer pressure is such that, remember, it was my brother and myself. We were in an area of a neighborhood, and those guys came up to me and they said, "Look at this." And they were dirty pictures. To this day, I cannot forget that image, because it gets encrusted into your mind. Of course, we walked away and we told our parents, and parents told the other parents, and things got moving. But you have to be on top. You cannot allow or take for granted that children will not be endangered this way. And then children's friends, as I said, do they do drugs? What is the recreational goals of your friends? What are they doing? I remember one time Jeff said to me that his bedroom was his own private castle. And You know how that goes. Okay. Well, it didn't take me much effort because Wilma was already on top of that. And we said, as long as you live under this roof, these things are not going to work. This is not your private place. This is where you sleep. If you want a private place, go rent a place. Earn a living. And he had posters of some of the song, some of the crazy rock stars are there. They all came ripping out. None of this stuff is allowed inside my house. And if you don't like it, you know what you have to do. Find a job, get a good paying job, find yourself a place, rent it, and go live there. But in this house, you don't do that. And you have to put your foot down. If you don't, they put their foot down on you. Now, this is a saying. No, it's a saying. Scripture says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But may I just share with you and say that sometimes parents forget this, and they think that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of their children. You must not be allowed to be bullied, and you must stand strong and say, this is how it is. It's called tough love. And if you don't exercise tough love, you're going to find yourself with some huge problems down the line. Now, you can't avoid everything, but you can avoid certain things. And you cannot monitor 24/7, but you can set the limitations and you can say, this is how it's going to be done. And when that doesn't happen, there's chaos in the home. Mothers, you need to be super responsible. And not only you, but then this other group of people that Paul refers to as, she was like a mother to me. We can influence those around us. So I had a mother like that. We called her mi mamá postiza. That was her name. And her name was Sister Belia. And Sister Belia went to be with the Lord. Last year, I did her funeral way over there in Tehachapi. And it was a wonderful relationship because I could come and talk to her things that I could not talk to my own mother. Nothing bad, but with freedom. And there was this closeness and this appreciation and this love. And it saved me in so many different ways because she was watching out for me in ways that my mother was not able to. I did find out years afterwards that my mother was jealous about that. That's okay. You always need to have someone that you can confide outside of your immediate element. It's a healthy thing to have. It's a healthy thing to have. And some of you need to be more proactive and be a mother to somebody else. So I can think, imagine how Paul would say, she was like a mother to me. I mean, she spoke into my heart. And Paul of Tarsus may have learned about the final moments of the Lord. Must have heard how he went up Golgothil and he heard it from the wife of the man who carried the Lord's cross. Think about that. It's amazing. She was like a mother to him, and you can be like a mother to others. You can become close to other people, which, by the way, grandchildren are very important in your life. You must be like a mother to them, but you don't have to worry about other things that mothers worry about, like this and that, the other. You have fun with them, and then you let them go. You know how that goes. That's what we do. If dad and mom don't want them to have sweets, I give them sweets. You can be a good grandmother. You can be a good second mother. You need to do that. You need to do that. Children need a place where they can feel comfortable in talking and speaking. And Paul, she was like a mother to me. I mean, Saul of Tarsus was a terrorist. He was literally killing Christians. And yet, look at this. How wonderful. He became a convert. He became the most revolutionary convert in the entire New Testament, entire world, because he changed the world upside down. Without knowing who Paul would become, this mother invested time, significant time, and this mother was able to influence the leader who is today Saint Paul. You never know who you are helping and who you are being a blessing to. You never know what God can do through your life experience and your tenderness and your kindness. You never know how important you are until years go by, and then they'll point their finger and say, it's because of her. It's because of her. And you said, I did not know that. You will be amazed how much you can impact children today. Children need to hear godly voices. They need to hear people that know God and can serve God together. So let me conclude this special Sunday morning, because we're all going out to eat, right? Are you guys going out to eat? Okay. He just said to you that he's taking you out to eat. Yeah, so. John? Okay, all right. Let me ask the question to you. Are you somebody's special mother? Good for you. You need to find someone. Someone that can speak to you kindly and with an open heart, without being embarrassed, can say things that they may not be able to say to their own natural mother. That happens. You've got to find someone. And there are many that are looking for your love. So don't despair today. Continue to be a mother. Continue to bless people. To your own children, be vigilant. With your own children, be smart. With your own children, be decisive. With your own children, rear them up. You have to have the whip in your hand. Not a physical whip, but you have to order things. You have to be stern. But there's somebody else that can be softer than that, because that's the role. And that's the second mother. When Paul said, she was like a mother to me. Whew. Can somebody say that about you? She was like a mother to me. And this is St. Paul speaking. And if St. Paul needed a mother like that, how much more do we need a mother like that? Make yourself available to those who are in need. Go out of your way just a little bit. It could be your neighbor. It could be your cousin. It could be your grandkids. But be a mother to somebody and bless them with your experience and your knowledge and your guidance, but especially with your love. Yeah, I had a mother who was very stern, loving but very stern. Someday we'll talk more about that, but it's Mother's Day, so why go there? But I also had a grandmother who was very kind to me. And my grandmother, she loved me because I was the first grandchildren. You know, when you're the first, you're the first. I was el consentido. But that made me a bunch of enemies, but that's okay. Yeah, I was able to see life through the eyes of a woman. As a man, as a woman, a boy, a woman. I mean, so important to see that perspective. We'll talk about that some other time. Like I said, that's next month. But it's so important to see the tenderness and the affection and the love. You can't compete with that. It's just, you can't beat it. You owe kids your love. Adopt a couple. Go after the kids. Make sure you show them love. I remember Millie, who was our pianist, and you would be Andy's grandmother. And so some of you who've been around in church for a while, you know all about Millie. And Millie loved every kid in the church because she seduced them by giving them candy. Sometimes she would be sitting in this area and she would throw a candy across. Everybody loved her. I never took that as being offensive. It was her way of showing her love. She was a tough lady. Oh, she was tough. But she had a heart the loved children. You gotta be a grandma. You gotta be a mother. It's gotta go beyond the biology, the biological knit. It's others around you. Love them. If Paul said she was like a mother to me, I just can't understand that. I just can't put it in my mind that Paul would say that she was like a mother to me. Valuing motherhood, valuing this sponsorship of others, valuing a woman that came to his aid. Oh, may God help us. May God give us a heart that is sufficiently open and broad to include other people and for you to love them and care for them. So I don't know, maybe if I remember, or somebody want to remember me 2 weeks before Mother's Day next year, we'll do an adoption ceremony. See who you want to adopt. But no, we can't do that. You know why we can't do that? Because most of the time, they're secret. Most of the time, they're incognito. Most of the time, you have those extra kids along your side that are not really pronounced, this is my adopted kid or the kid that I love, or it's almost like it's a silent thing. It was silent with me for about a year and a half, and then my mother found out. Well, what can I tell you? She found out everything. There was nothing that mother did not know. She was like a hawk, which you should be as well. And if you needed to be like a hawk in the 60s, what do you need to be today in 2020? Good grief. Yeah, I think you probably need to be one of those, what they call those things that fly in the sky? A drone. You have to employ a bunch of drones. Whatever. Look after your children. Love your children. But adopt somebody. Find somebody that you can love. That they may say, hey, and thanks so-and-so, who was like a mother to me. Think of that, a mother to me. That was St. Paul. Lord, we thank you today because without knowing who Paul would become, she was a mother to him in a very significant and meaningful way that as he writes the epistle to the Romans, he mentions her. And he became the most significant convert in the history of the church. Glory to God for her. May the Lord give us spiritual children, adoptive children. May the Lord help us to contribute and put in their lives your presence and your guidance. And for those who have children here, Lord, and have grandchildren as well, I pray for mothers and grandmothers not to burn out, but for them to take things to you in prayer and for you to give them the wisdom and the understanding of the awful responsibility of passing it on, of being role models, serving Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
So, Lord, I pray for mothers today and mothers that have adopted children in their circle of influence. I pray, Lord, for a baptism of love and fire in their hearts. I pray that they will understand their role, a role that is biblical, a role that is protected and strengthened by Jesus himself. I pray, Lord Jesus, that all of us would become better parents in serving and raising children. But mothers specifically, Lord, may you touch and strengthen in Jesus' name. You know, but anyway, I pray God will bless you and would strengthen you, and have a wonderful, blessed day, knowing that the Lord is with you and for you and in you, and that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And that includes your children, includes everything around you. So this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. Happy Mother's Day.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, you can go to our Facebook page. For more information about our church, you can also check out our website at www.bb4square.org. Happy Mother's Day! This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.